Oh, hey, Vanya.
Hi, Meg Jensen.
How's it going? I know you're really busy, so we're trying to talk about the Oscars, and we'll see how much we can do, because Vanya has all kinds of full-time jobs now.
Well, that's true. It's true.
Multiple.
I have multiple, but it's okay. I'm happy to be here.
Sweet. And we'll dive in, and we'll see what we talk about here. You know, I will say that it was funny, because they were supposed to start at 7 my time, 4 o'clock your time. They did start a little bit late, and I guess that's because there were protests happening outside.
Oh, right. They, like, shut down the 10 or something.
Yeah, so it took a minute for the show to get started. And then I will say we started right off with a montage, and I do love a movie montage.
Yes.
Like, that feels very Oscar-y to me. And then we had Jimmy and Barbie with their funny little bit sitting at the bus stop, which I thought was well done and funny. And I thought that his monologue was, in general, really fun. I thought that he did a good job.
I love Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah.
I'm always on their side, you know? I'm always on their side. It's a hard role to take on, so.
It's a really hard job to do. And once again, we talked about this, it's really hard sometimes to know if you're there for the people in the audience or if you're there for the people watching on TV. And I think he does a good job of kind of doing both things at the same time.
Yeah, and he has a lot of experience because he does his, like, right, you know, his show.
I will say that I almost immediately noticed a big poof of blue in the front row, and it took a minute to figure out what that was, but there's a very big blue dress.
Oh, who was it?
It ended up being Devine Joy Randolph, and
yeah.
You saw it when she got up. But immediately from the back of the theater, I was like, there's a lot of blue in the front row there. I like it. And like a string of Robert Downey Jr. jokes. It was funny because, you know, the internet likes to make everything into drama, and the internet was like, it seemed like Robert Downey Jr. was over those jokes. And I'm like, no, he was just playing along. Like, it was just,
exactly.
It was funny. Everything was fine. Everyone likes to make everything into a fight.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I liked that he brought out the behind the scenes workers. They sort of talked about how, like,
yeah,
all of the Teamsters and et cetera, like, stood with the actors and writers on their strike. And he sort of said, like, hey, like, we brought them out. They got a standing ovation. We'll stand with you because their contracts are coming up. And here's hoping that doesn't take as long as the
honestly,
other
I
ones
mean, this
took.
Industry is going to shut down if things keep taking this long. I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a lot. And people just want to be, you know, paid fairly. And, you know, we started right off the bat with supporting actress. And can I just say that I feel like Jodie Foster has, like, never looked happier. And, I just think, even though she sort of made a bit of a to-do about, like, I was never really in the closet, like, I'm not coming out, that is
right,
not a thing. I do think that there's something to be said for, like, living your life openly and freely, that there's just, she has, like, just a joy about her now, it feels
yeah,
like.
Yeah, yeah. I did think that, too. I thought she seemed much happier.
Yeah, she just seems, like, just super chill and super happy. And you know what? What was up with Emily Blunt's straps on her dress? Did you notice that?
Yeah,
like, they were nowhere
sure
near her body.
It was definitely a design choice, but it looked like
right?
that she was sitting up and the dress, like, pushed up. But I think maybe, I don't really know. I'm not sure how that's, like, a good thing, but I think it's definitely arresting, and it gets it, you know, moves through the static of all the dresses. So, like, oh, that's weird, different.
And she looked,
I mean,
beautiful.
She's stunning,
like,
yeah,
she looked great, but it was that funny thing where I'm like, those straps are nowhere near you. They have nothing to do with you. And then, of course, it was Devine won, and I do think it's worth noting that she's read every speech, and I did like that she didn't read this one. I think that she's kind of was like, well, I made it. I got here. I have the Oscar. I'm just going to speak from the heart. And her speech was beautiful.
Yeah.
I didn't think I was supposed to be doing this as a career. I started off as a singer, and my mother said to me, go across that street to that theater department. There's something for you there. And I thank my mother for doing that. I thank you to all the people who have stepped in my path and has been there for me, who has ushered me and guided me. I am so grateful to all you beautiful people out here. For so long, I've always wanted to be different. And now I realize I just need to be myself. And I thank you. I thank you for seeing me.
And she deserved it. She was so good.
She was so good in that movie. Like, such a beautiful presence.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever. Not for nothing. I feel like we've been talking about her on this podcast for a long time.
Know.
So I feel like we really did our part.
It's true. We did. We helped her win. But it's so true. Like,
yeah,
she's able to convey multiple things in, like, just a look of an eye. A flick of
her.
Yeah,
wrist. She's so lovely.
Yeah.
And then we had Chris Hemsworth and Anya Taylor-Joy coming out. And there is something about Chris Hemsworth where I'm like, I don't think you need to look that handsome.
Mm, yeah, I like it.
He could bring it down a notch. Mm, yeah.
I'm just fine with it. It's good.
You're okay
yeah,
with
yeah.
it? All right. I'll be okay with it too then. And they start out with animated short. And I will say, I did think that War is Over was going to win this. And it's a great short. I feel that the use of the song gilds the lily a little bit. Like, I thought, anyways, neither here nor there. Don't want to be argumentative, but it was good. I will say, if you get a chance to watch the short called 95 Senses,
okay,
that was the one that really blew me away. And it's not available anywhere right now that I can see. If I find it, I'll definitely like send a link. But it was definitely one of those. It was the short that affected me the
really?
Most.
Really? Hmm.
It's hard to even describe it. It's a gentleman talking about the five senses, and he sort of like, but where it goes is really unexpected.
Cool.
And like, I saw it with an audience, and the audience shit, like the audience, you felt the audience go, what?
Really?
Like it just goes to, yeah, really unexpected places. Anyways, wonderful. And yeah, and then we found out that it's Mother's Day in the UK. I feel like that ends up being a little bit of a running theme, and they all say Happy Mother's Day to Yoko, which I enjoyed. I thought that was a fun moment. And then I wasn't surprised that The Boy and the Heron won for Best Animated Feature.
Neither was I. I had chosen that in my friend's group we were watching. I was like, I didn't see it, but I think it's going to win.
Yeah, for sure. And then, you know, they have like the Poor Things clip package. And this was another, I thought, like manufactured moment where Jimmy Kimmel makes a mention of like, that's all that we could show from that movie. And it kind of cuts to Emma Stone kind of making a and I think she was just joking along.
Yeah.
I just think that like it was a funny moment, and I think no one was mad at anyone. Like we don't have to pretend like we're fighting. Everything's good.
By the way, Mike, I finally watched it last night.
Did you?
And I was so scared. I feel like my mind went to like, oh my God, it's gonna be bad. It was fine. I got through it just fine. It's definitely like, if you're a slightly dizzy person, the fisheye lens was a lot for me in the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, I'm just gonna look down for a moment. But yeah, it was so creative and so beautiful and funny and disturbing. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, it's a film that I respect a lot, and I enjoy aspects of it. And there were certain things that I didn't quite get and certain things that I was a little off put by. But here's what I go back to say, and I guess we'll get to it more at the end. Emma Stone, that performance is so singular. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not like anything.
No,
like, I don't know where you would look to be like, this is how I should play this role. Like, that is such a you know, incredibly, I just keep saying the word singular.
She was like a toddler. I bet she used some of her child's, like, you know, from the beginning. She basically grew up on the screen before our eyes.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, it's an incredible performance. And then it's a funny joke about like, at what age do you tell a screenplay that it's adapted? I guess that was pretty funny. Right. And then Melissa McCarthy, and I will say, like, Melissa McCarthy and Octavia Spencer are really funny, and I like them a lot. And this bit just didn't work. Mm. Like the bit they were trying to do, but then it's kind of funny because then they comment on the bit not working, which sort of made it funny.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, okay, well, that's the best part of this is your acknowledgement of like, no, the writing is, we should have just gone with the writing. That was good. And yeah, Anatomy of a Fall won original screenplay, which I definitely thought was gonna happen. I really, really wanted Past Lives.
Oh, but right.
Anatomy of a Fall is great. And it's funny, this song that plays here, like, is, if you ever watch the film, it's a very hilarious choice of the music that plays for them to get up on stage. And then adapted goes to American Fiction. And I do have a crush on Cord Jefferson. So it's, you know, I'm happy for him. I really wanted Barbie to win this one. But it's a good moment. And I like his speech is great. His whole thing of like, there are so many people out there that want the opportunity that I was given. And his whole thing of like, let's give them the opportunities. And I did like the sentiment of that. And then we had, you know, What Was I Made For? And I thought it was funny that they skipped the second half of the first verse.
Oh, yeah. But it's, I didn't notice that.
And it's a beautiful song. And I don't know. I don't have a whole lot more to say about this. Other than I can sometimes be annoyed at people's shock over being appreciated by the crowd, but I felt like her genuine response to people standing up was kind of touching. Like, I was sort of moved by her, kind of like, she seemed almost taken aback by it.
Really? Yes.
And
yes,
even
yes,
like, yes. Ariana Grande in the audience, like, just looking so happy for her. I was like, oh, everyone likes each other.
Yeah.
And I guess my only thing about like the Past Lives clip then segueing into the Beetlejuice music was that it seemed like it happened so soon that even the audience was confused, where it was like this beautiful, touching moment from Past Lives, and like, da-na-na. Like, it was just kind of a weird, like, you sort of like saw some of the audience going, what is happening? And yeah, this is for we start out with makeup, and I will say, like, Poor Things is now going to win the next three awards, and I think it's sort of worth mentioning that Emma Stone isn't in the audience for it, that Emma Stone got up to like use the bathroom, and then they wouldn't let her in for this segment. So there is video of her like out in the lobby watching it on the screen being like, I wish I was in there, kind of.
Oh my God,
you know.
I can't believe they didn't let her back in. Come on now.
Yeah, they won't let anyone in when the commercial's not going, so yeah. And it's also fun just like, because you know these production teams. I mean, you know this. One person wins an Academy Award for it, but they worked with a huge amount of people. Yeah. And I love when they would like shout out and you would hear the people like way up in the balcony kind of like shouting back. And
yeah.
I did like that, the sort of acknowledging. Because yeah, we're going to have production design is also going to go to Poor Things. And
as it should.
And then before, I will say the costume bit was pretty good. This is John Cena.
Oh, where he's my like, God, we yes,
sort of
course.
Have a reference
yes,
of like course. A streaker. And then, yeah, John Cena appears in the background. And it was really, really funny with him sort of like nude walking across the stage, hiding his parts with the envelope. And then the fact that it was for costume was also very, very funny.
I love that. Yeah, no, I really enjoyed that.
And then Poor Things again. Once again, we have like Poor Things kind of taking the... I guess these aren't really the technical categories, but I guess like the artistic categories here.
Yeah. Or, you know, yeah. I guess, yeah. I was thinking about that. There was a shot where at the beginning of the movie where it's going up the back of her dress. And I'm like, that is meticulously gorgeous. It's, you know, they definitely deserved.
Meticulous is a very good word to use. Like, Poor Things, everything. I mean, there was once again in production design a part of me that wanted Barbie to win. But
yeah.
You just think about like literally every inch of Poor Things was production design.
Yeah. Yeah. It was amazing.
And I do think it's funny that the woman who wins for costume like takes out a piece of paper and then thanks her fellow nominees. It gets a little bit of a laugh where it's like you had to be reminded of that. I also like that she thanked her husband for taking care of the kids so that she could work.
Yeah.
I like that.
Like somebody's got to do it. It's got to be somebody. I mean, if you're not paying for somebody, it's going to be, you know, somebody doing it. Otherwise, don't have children.
I liked it.
You know?
And then we have the Killers of the Flower Moon package, which I mostly bring up because then we go into the song from Killers of the Flower Moon. And my only thought during this number was, I'm so grateful that there are people that are dedicated to remembering
these. Oh, that was amazing.
These.
I got chills.
Yeah. It was so beautiful and so, like, I think of the dying languages of so many Native communities and so many Native people in this country, and we're losing so much of that. And I'm just so happy that there are people that are like so dedicated to keeping that alive.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Dwayne Johnson and Bad Bunny are there to present international feature film, and it ends up going to the Zone of Interest. And I did write like Sandra Hüller movies are doing really well tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, this is a movie that I once again respected more than I liked. I thought it was a good opportunity. I know this speech was very controversial to some people that the gentleman that got up and spoke. But, I thought his whole point was, like, we're all people. Like, underneath it all, we're all human beings. And it's the dehumanization that can lead to such horrifying tragedy, like the Holocaust.
Absolutely.
And, like, the wars that are happening now.
Why is that controversial?
Well, he mentions... I'm going to say the wrong word, but I think he mentions refuting his Jewishness. But I don't think he was talking about refuting his Jewishness. I think he was... talking about refuting it in order to dehumanize other people.
I see.
That he refuses to do that. And I think it was maybe misheard or misinterpreted by some, but I thought that his overall sentiment was simply, I'm not going to use who I am to dehumanize someone else. That's what it
it's
felt
a vicious
like.
Cycle,
to me.
Yeah.
100%. 100%. Yeah.
Our film shows where dehumanization leads at its worst. It shaped all of our past and present. Right now, we stand here as men who refute their Jewishness and the Holocaust being hijacked by an occupation which has led to conflict for so many innocent people. Whether the victims of October the 7th in Israel or the ongoing attack on Gaza, all are victims of this dehumanization. How do we resist?
And then Emily Blunt and Ryan Gosling, and I love everything about this was great. The sort of Kitty and Ken moment. And
happy that we can finally put this Barbenheimer rivalry behind us.
That's right. And the way this award season's turned out wasn't that much of a rivalry, so just let it go. So.
It's true. You guys are doing very well, you know? Congratulations.
Thanks.
But you know, I think I kind of figured out why they call it Barbenheimer and they didn't call it Oppen Barbie.
Why?
Well, I think you guys are at the tail end of that because you were riding Barbie's coattails all summer.
Thanks for Ken-splaining that to me. All right, mister, I need to paint my abs on to get nominated. You don't see Robert Downey
kidding.
Doing that.
You're kidding.
Robert
You're
Downey
kidding.
Did not paint his abs on to
this
get
This is insane, Emily. This has got to stop. We have to squash this.
And it's actually about the stunt community. And I also love, I really want to be friends with Emily Blunt. I think that she's so funny and always gets the job. And all her, I'll put some of the clip of this in, her whole, like, this ended up not really being a competition, was sort of like a throwdown moment that I just thought was funny. And then even if you watch and you hear, like, you hear her yell playback, like, as the playback is starting, which I don't know, just everything about her I think is lovely. The straps confuse me, but
she's just very comfortable in her skin, you know?
She's so comfortable. Like, she's so, she feels just so at ease. Her grace is just, yeah, I love it. Love it, love it, love it.
Yeah.
And then I just really quickly, I never thought about stunt camera people. It shows the clip of, like, the guy with the camera also jumping off the wall.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, thank you.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
Like, that, I hope that he gets paid very
well.
Oh,
he definitely must, you know, because he has a lot of very expensive equipment that's strapped to him, plus his own life, you know.
Yeah, it was kind of intense. And even, you know, I think about that moment, I think it's Buster Keaton who, like, is in the film where, like, the front of the house falls down and he's sort of in the center of, they did that, like, one time, and he could have been seriously injured. Like, I think about the way that stunts used to be done. Yeah, it was like, ridiculous. Well, hopefully you don't die. Let's see what happens. And then we're all the way to supporting actor now. And other than Tim Robbins sort of, like, calling Robert De Niro's performance an Oscar-winning performance, which I think was a mistake and then kind of turns into a joke, it's, of course, ends up being Robert Downey Jr.
Mm.
And yeah, I imagine that Once Upon a Time being his entertainment lawyer was a pretty big job.
Yeah.
And then it's Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito, and I don't know, they both tried to kill Batman is funny, though there's part of me that's like, Michael Keaton wasn't the Batman that Arnold Schwarzenegger tried to kill.
Right, right. But he's cute. I like Michael Keaton.
He did this very well. I don't know if he knew ahead of time that it was coming, but Michael Keaton played this perfectly.
He's a freaking pro, you know? He's a freaking pro.
And it's leading us into visual effects. And I'm so dumb because every year that I watch visual effects clips, I'm like, that was a visual effect? Yeah, Mike, the train didn't really almost fall off the tracks. But for some reason, there are certain films that I'm like,
they
really must have.
Did you see Mission Impossible?
I did.
Honestly, I thought they were going to win.
I thought they were going to win too, because some of those visuals.
It's the craziest thing I've ever
seen. That's what gets me the most is when you wouldn't in a million years guess. Like, I knew that Godzilla wasn't demolishing that building. But there were moments they showed in Mission Impossible that I'm like, oh, they didn't really dangle a train off the. Of course they didn't.
No,
but it just looked so seamless.
I think maybe that's why. There's probably technical aspects that I don't understand, and that's why Godzilla beat out Mission Impossible. But Mission Impossible, that it was like the most butt-clenching, like, 10 minutes of my life. Honestly, see the movie just for that. It was really amazing. It was unlike anything I've seen before.
Spectacular. And as each car, like, we get to the.
Oh,
I'm
man.
Like, what? Mm-mm. It was so intense and you like so seamlessly done.
Yeah, it's really good. I couldn't believe it didn't win, but you know.
Yeah, and you know, the people from Godzilla, like, sort of carrying their toys, and they're not toy, they're models and all of that. And it was, and I do, you know, it is that thing where, you know, he talks about Star Wars and Indiana Jones and Rocky, and it is sort of that reminder of, like, international cinema is, you know, obviously international, it's huge, but it is so often American films that inspire, like, Hollywood films that are inspirations.
Definitely.
You know, that Rocky inspired this guy in Japan who went on to be a visual effects artist, and
that's really cool.
And they, you know, they thank a producer who clearly had passed away, and they had a picture of him, and that was also very moving to me. And it's, we get to editing, and this ends up being Oppenheimer, and I was really, really happy. This is Jennifer Lame who ends up winning this, and I liked her speech as well.
Yeah,
and,
me too.
Whoo, okay, Emma Thomas. You amaze me. You are a badass producer, and you make these complicated, beautiful films, and you're unflappable, and I'm in awe of you. Chris Nolan, you're okay too. I was terrified, like I am right now, when I first got hired to work with you, and you hired me, and it felt like you took a huge risk on me, but you never made me feel that way. And you instilled so much confidence in me, and I looked forward to going to work with you every day. And it's so exciting to collaborate with you, and I can't thank you enough.
There was some, listen, I listened to this podcast, and there's this dick who's always on it who hated Oppenheimer, who just and was like, this will be the first film to win for editing that had no editing because it's 3 hours long. And I'm like, no, the editing in this film is amazing.
I mean, that's not what it means in film.
I can't deal with this guy. I won't say his name.
I mean, editing a book and versus editing film is not the same. I mean, maybe it's similar, but Anywho, I thought she's great too, and it makes me happy that she's a lady.
100%, absolutely. And then we have It Never Went Away by John Batiste. And this was an interesting movie that was sort of a documentary on the year that he was nominated.
I really want to. I love him. I love his wife.
Yeah, it definitely gave me, I mean, I've always had an appreciation for him. I think that he's one of the smartest people on the planet. The film is really interesting because it sort of juxtaposes like perhaps the best year of his music career with her cancer battle. And it's really beautifully done. And I do love it in the end. This really is just a love song. I believe it's a love song about his wife. And so very touching. And then, you know, we have the Maestro clip package. And I know not everyone loved this film. And I don't think that it ended up doing what people thought it was going to do. But I like how happy Bradley and Carrie look. They're just like happy to be there and happy to be near each other. Yeah. And I thought it was a fun moment. And then we get Jimmy Kimmel acknowledging Colman Domingo and him playing Michael Jackson's dad, which Emily Blunt looks very interested in the background. But then it ends up being a tequila commercial, which I was a little confused by. Mm. It's fine. It was just a weird, like, we all have our little tequilas. And
that's right. That's right.
Right. It was kind of a weird moment.
That was a weird moment. I'm like, and I just, all I could think of is, you know, as a person who's like worked lots of, you know, catering and different events and whatever, the logistics of that would have been hell to get everybody.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And then it's America Ferrera and Kate McKinnon, and I like them together and their little, you know, Jurassic Park documentary joke.
Kate, no. No, those aren't documentaries.
What do you mean?
No. Kate, the dinosaurs weren't real.
Oh, America, not you too.
No. No, I know the dinosaurs were real, but in the movies, they were CGI. There was a documentary about it.
But, Jeff Goldblum is real, right?
No.
Then to whom have I been sending my tasteful nudes?
And then, the nudes ended up being sent to Spielberg. Yeah, it was fun. And this was a category I really, really wanted The Last Repair Shop to win, and it did. And this is such a great documentary.
Really?
It's on the longer side. It's like 40 minutes long, but I cried like six times. It's such a beautiful...
I keep going to it and then being like, not sure if I want to watch it tonight, but...
I watched it on the plane. I was like, I'll just watch it on the plane. I'm so glad that I watched it. It's just beautiful, and it's about music and the transformation that music can have in people's lives and really beautifully done. So I definitely recommend checking this out. I will also say The Barber of Little Rock is so worth watching as well. That was definitely... Ooh, that was another one that got me. There were moments in that that were so moving. And it's just about the financial disparity for black people in this country and how for generations society has been built to keep people of color from accruing wealth
group
that's trying to change that. That one is on, oh gosh.
I'll look it up because I love a documentary. You know I love a documentary.
Oh, it's Disney Plus. Sorry, Disney Plus or
that's
Hulu.
Also, Disney Plus is also The Last Repair Shop too.
Oh, yes, it is. Yeah. I had them both. I'm so lying to you. It's on YouTube. Okay. The Barber of Little Rock is on YouTube. Okay. I looked at The Last Repair Shop and that's Disney Plus. And then, Barber of Little Rock is YouTube. Okay.
Oh, good.
Check it out, though. It's really good. And then, you know, I figured that documentary feature would be 20 Days in Mariupol. And it's a remarkable doc. It's very hard to watch, obviously. Yeah. And it's very hard to watch knowing that it's about the first 20 days of this war that is still happening. And it's a tough one, but it's definitely, I use the word important and roll my eyes, but
yeah.
I don't know what more to say about it. It was the first Oscar to a Ukrainian film. And
after you watched it, did you feel like you had anything you could do to change anything to action? I mean, like, did it call to action at all? Or how did...
It's a hard one to call to action because, once again, we're now, 2 years later and we're still dealing with, we're not dealing with it. But I guess to me, it was just important to remember that, once again, these are people.
Yeah.
And it shows the people who are there and the people who are suffering. And it shows, there's a really disturbing moment where it's parents and their little son. And the little son is stomping on the Ukrainian flag. And you just think, he's been taught that.
Mm-hmm.
He's been taught to hate these people. He's been taught that these aren't human beings. And
so
that's how it starts. Yeah.
Of course, that's how it starts. Yeah.
And his mention of cinema forms memories and memories form history. And he does sort of call on the power people in this room. And I hope that, I hope there are people in that room that feel that they can do something more, And then it's Zendaya presenting cinematography and Oppenheimer takes this as well. And of course, I was happy about that. And Rami Yusuf and Issa Rae kind of like joking about keeping it short. And this is my only boo
moment.
Tell
me, give me a boo moment.
Listen, I don't have anything. Wes Anderson, right? Like, I don't have anything. Some stuff, his stuff is a little bit mannered, a little bit.
Sure.
There are a couple of really, really impressive short films. This didn't feel like a short film to me. This felt like actors standing in front of sets telling a story. And because that's mostly what it was. And I don't know. I just had an issue, but I knew it was going to win. I wrote in my notes, this is going to win because it looks like $1 million because it's incredibly produced. It looks beautiful. I didn't think it was.
Yeah.
Boo. That was my only boo.
By the way, I thought Rami was very good in Poor Things.
Oh, he was. He was fantastic.
I really was like,
Poor Things,
because I've seen him in his show, in his TV, or his series, same. You know, and I was like, wow, you are an actor, man. I mean, I knew, you know, wow.
Yeah. Thoroughly impressed by his work in that.
And
yeah,
I loved
he was
him.
Really, really good in that. And then we have The Fire Inside, performed by Becky G. And this was written by Dan. This is like her 15th song that's nominated. And I'm like, you're not going to win, but I'm glad you get, to be there and like, see this performance.
This is my one moment for my highlight.
Right. And then it was sort of funny that I guess Jimmy Kimmel switched jackets so they couldn't edit him out. I didn't really know what that meant. But John Mulaney, this is funny. I guess I don't know Field of Dreams well enough to really get the full joke.
Remind me, I missed that part. I must have been going to the bathroom.
Well, he talks about sound and then he basically just describes the plot of Field of Dreams and then sort of ends by saying that should win, but probably it'll go to one of the films that's nominated tonight.
Hmm.
And it was fine. I just don't know it well enough. John Mulaney's also that guy who I always end up liking his stuff, but I also am always a little bit arms crossed. And I think it's just because he's like a handsome, straight white guy. And there's part of me that's like, okay. And it sounds like I'm being rude, and I'm happy for his happiness. There's just something that always, I'm a little bit like, you're very funny.
Well, you know what? His partner has cancer now, so thanks.
I know.
Mike.
I read about that today, and I do have a lot of love for Olivia Munn. Yeah. Like, oh.
I told my husband, I was like, I forgive her now, because I worked with her on something, and she was like rude, and I was like, I'll never forgive you, Olivia Munn. But now I'll forgive her. It's fine.
You're forgiven, Olivia. And yeah, Zone of Interest, they end up taking a long time to get to the stage, and it's fine. I get why this won for sound. I would have won. Well, just my thing of like, get to the stage. Like, they stop and like hug 5,000 people on the way. Yeah. I'm like, you can hug all the people later. Just get to the stage and start talking. And I appreciate this sound design. I wasn't surprised that it won. It's a very specific job that had to be done for this film. So once again, I would have gone with Oppenheimer, but Oppenheimer wins enough, so it's okay.
I really
Let's
thought
the
they would
around.
Win for sound design, because it was very upsetting to me, the sound design for Oppenheimer.
It's and very specific as well, and very, sound design to the nth degree.
You know, and like, as I will say, I'm a mildly neurodivergent person. I almost had to leave the theater because it was like a lot for me.
Oh, it never stops. Oppenheimer, is a roller coaster of sound.
Yeah.
That literally, like, the movie starts, which is why the few moments where it's quiet are, like, almost unnerving, because there's so much sound. It's just like, anyway, I understood why it went this way. I was a little bit surprised. Yeah. And then what to say about I'm Just Ken, just go watch it. If you haven't watched the clip of this performance,
it's so good.
It is spectacular. And I even love how they rearranged the seating so that Ryan could be behind Margot and in front. Like, it was so perfectly staged from the second it started to the second it ended.
Yeah, it
everything
was
about
joyful.
It is so good.
Joyful.
Joyful. Amazing. If you haven't seen it, watch it. It's so good. And then I like that Jimmy has Ryan's peak pants. And that's and then, Ariana and Cynthia are there, and we have the music from Wicked, and I am getting pretty excited about that movie. And
oh, I am freaking out. I can't wait.
Yeah, it looks... The preview did much to make me go, okay, they know what they're doing. I think this is going to be good. I'm excited for this. And this score kind of had to be Oppenheimer, and I do sort of forget that, like, Ludwig Göransson is the guy who did Black Panther, and I will say his wife doesn't, he thinks his wife Serena Göransson, she's still listed as Serena McKinney, but maybe he's allowed to call her by his last name.
Huh.
That is interesting. And he thinks his parents were giving him guitars and drum machines, and I thought it was overall a good speech. And this score is, I think, amazing. And then, of course, for song, it's going to be Phineas and Billy. And this song is great. I'm happy that it won.
I am too.
I like that she thanks her friend for playing Barbies. And I like that she thanks a music teacher that didn't like her very much.
Oh my God. I wonder if it was my neighbor. Probably not. But
funny.
Was it a guy or a girl? Yeah. Did she say?
I think it was a woman. Okay, she says Mrs. something.
Oh, because one of my friends taught her, did piano lessons with her when she was younger.
That's really funny.
Isn't that
funny? One of your stories.
Yeah. Right next door where we used to live. Remember?
Yes. Of course. I do remember this. That's so funny. Yeah. I will say, I was going to mention earlier the weird hallway shots where you'd have like people leaving the stage as someone's talking in the hallway. Maybe I'll post a picture of it. But if you look at like Ariana Grande's social media, like this was such an awkward thing where there's a woman like announcing things in the show and then it's like Billie Eilish kind of like trying to avoid her, and then Ariana Grande making a face of like, I think we're in the wrong area. It was just a weird choice. It all worked out fine. It was sort of a funny moment, but it was an odd choice. Yeah. And I will say, Alexei Navalny, having that clip from that documentary, that I was very moved immediately by that, and seeing his words and his thing of like, if they kill me, you don't get to stop.
Right.
And they killed him.
Aye.
Yeah. It's tough. And I thought this In Memoriam was well put together. I'm always going to advocate for less. I just don't think we need dancers. I don't think we need musicians. I would much rather just see a screen and just like see the people see their work. So I'm not complaining about what was done. I thought it was overall very well put together. I'm just always going to advocate for less.
Yeah.
And we sort of get an Oppenhammered mentioned, which that was pretty funny. And with it, I like his thing of like, there are only 4 awards left. This should take no time at all, but for some reason, it's going to take a really long time. But I did feel like the show moved along at a pretty good clip, right? I was a little bit like, wow, we only have 4 left. Like that was sort of remarkable how quickly I thought the show went along.
Yeah, I was surprised as well.
And it's Best Actor. And I will say somehow Nicolas Cage kind of stole this. Like I thought that his thing with Paul Giamatti of like,
this past year, Paul Giamatti was so committed that for the character to have a lazy eye, he wore a soft contact lens during the entire shoot, which made him blind in that eye while filming. Would I have done that? Hell yes. But the point is, you did do it, Paul. And you were brilliant again. Bravo.
It was really good. It was very Nicolas Cage, but I thought it also was respectful, and I thought it was really, really funny. And I don't think that Killian was a lock. Like, I really think it could have gone to any of these 5.
Same.
But, you know, I was happy for his win. And I will say, I'm an insane person. I just watched Oppenheimer for like the 6th time the other
crazy,
night.
But I love you.
I know. I've spent hours of my life with that film. His performance is remarkable. Like,
really?
He's in almost every frame of the movie, and like what he does is pretty, it's pretty incredible. And I liked his dedication to the peacemakers, you know. And then Spielberg's here for director, and I think this was definitely, we all knew this was going to be Christopher Nolan. And I did notice, like, well, Bradley Cooper's mom does not stand.
Oh, really? Maybe she has fine. I don't think that it's, or something.
I'm sure that is what it is. She's a woman of a certain age, and I'm sure she's just like, I can't stand for every single person, you know. And even his moment, it's a thing to think about, like his mention that, like, you know, movies are an art form that are only 100 years old,
right?
Like, can you imagine being there in the first 100 years of painting? Like, this is a very new art form. And I thought that was very worth mentioning, and sort of a wow moment, you know?
I know, that was interesting.
And then we have leading actress, and you know, this feels almost like an impossible situation for Emma Stone to be in. And there is definitely part of me that would have loved to see Lily Gladstone have her name called and get up there. Emma Stone's performance it's undeniable.
Yeah.
Like, this could have gone either way. And I thought she did a beautiful job. And I did notice that Michelle Yeoh handed the Oscar to Jennifer Lawrence to allow her to hand it to Emma Stone, which I think was sort of, because they actually, you know, Jennifer and Emma Stone are friends. And I think she wanted her friend to be able to give it to her.
Sure.
And I'm going to take a picture. And so the second that I figure, there's a redhead sitting behind Yorgos Lanthimos, who I know from something, and I cannot place it. And when it clicks, I'm going to feel so dumb that I couldn't figure it out. Oh, hi, it's Mike here. As I'm editing this, I realize that it's Belinda Bromelow, who I love from The Great. She is married to Tony McNamara, who wrote the screenplay to Poor Things. I figured it out. Needed it to be known. I figured it out. All right, back to the show. I'll take a picture and maybe send it to you, because you'll probably be like, oh, she's this person.
Okay, I can't wait. You know who will know if I don't know is Adam, my husband.
We'll all figure it out together. And once again, when I figure it out, I'm going to be so annoyed that I couldn't figure it out in the moment. But I'm like, I know you and I feel like I love you, but I can't think of one. All right, we'll figure it out. And then, you know, Emma ending with her daughter, I love you bigger than the whole sky. Is that a reference to something?
That's
do you know?
That's what we always say to our kids. I don't know.
Okay. All right.
And you know what? Usually the kids say that to us. Like, I love you bigger. I love you as big as the moon. I love you bigger than the whole sky. Yeah, kids, it's usually, I don't think it's from anything, but.
It was touching. And I really, you know, I love Emma Stone. I have a lot of love for her.
Honestly, Mike, if I was Lily, I'd be like, there's no way I'm going to get, you know, you watch Emma Stone's performance, you kind of like, and I love Lily Gladstone. I think she's incredible, but even I would be like, no.
Her performance in this is amazing. It's just undeniable.
That was more.
Yeah. It's just like what she does in that film is, once again, it's unprecedented. Yeah. It's one of those things where, like, it must have been her and the director together being like, all right, how old am I in this scene?
Oh, I'm like, sure they had a graph. I would have had to, as an actor, I would have had to make like a graph to know where I'm at, depending on what there's, you know, how they're filming stuff.
And her dress breaking, I think, was also, I don't know that I would have noticed that it was broken, but like, I don't know, it almost added like an endearing quality to the whole situation.
I think that was her face.
Yeah.
You know, like people were talking about her face. I'm sure it was like, my freaking dress is broken. Oh, God.
And even her saying that she thinks it happened during I'm Just Ken. It was fun. And then I also like Jimmy's thing of like, let's tear up that envelope so we don't have a best picture. Because it was her envelope that made everyone think that La La Land back when the whole La La Land Moonlight thing happened. Was that they gave the envelope to Warren Beatty for best leading actress instead of her best picture. Yeah.
Awkward. Ooh. One of the almost awkward moments.
Yeah, it was a pretty, if you haven't seen that, it's kind of worth watching, though it's a little bit stomach turning.
So
it is incredibly awkward.
Oh,
and then I like his, you know. We're speeding along. We have an extra minute to read a review, and this is good. I'm, you know, him sort of reading the review that clearly a former president had left him.
I mean, I'm sure everyone, but I had to go online and be like, what the heck is happening? That was bonkers. Oh, God, I hate that guy. I mean, I love Jimmy Kimmel, but I hate the other guy.
And Jimmy Kimmel, and much has been made of his. Isn't it past your jail time? That is such a perfectly landed joke. Like, I don't know if Jimmy wrote that. I don't know if someone gave it to him, but it was such a perfectly like mic drop.
But he keeps
so good.
I just get upset because he keeps getting like judge passes, you know, whatever. I don't know. I just feel like I have to like find a happy place for all this.
Yeah, I listen to it for like, I'll listen to like the news about him for 10 minutes and then I'll be like, now I have to do something else. It's true. You have to decide how much you can take in. And then we have Al Pacino there to present Best Picture. And I guess Michelle Pfeiffer was supposed to have been there with him, but she had a family emergency.
Oh, no. Poor Michelle.
Yeah. So I hope everyone's fine there. This is a strange presentation. And Al Pacino has said, like, he was told by the producers, we're not going to replay the nominees. We're not going to go over it again. Just get out there, open the envelope. And, Oppenheimer ends up winning its seventh award of the night. And I do wish there'd been the nominees are. Like, I do wish we had one more. You know, like, these films were nominated for Best Picture. Let's give them one more mention at the end of the show and then lead into not Al Pacino's fault, just a note that I have for the producers.
I agree.
And I do feel like this is our first glimpse of Florence Pugh, who looks wonderful, but I was kind of like, oh, she's there. I'm surprised we didn't see her before this moment. And then, you know, Emma Thomas thanks her husband and ends with the Academy, and then Charles Roven is the other producer who speaks for a bit, and Jimmy Kimmel wraps it up, and then I wrote, do we have any thoughts on confetti? Confetti is a thing that I don't think needs to exist anymore, and I think of that only because I've had to clean it up before.
I thought the same thing. What I thought was, this is not the place for that. Confetti is, I feel like, confetti is AGTV. That's
something.
Yeah, like
it doesn't.
I don't know.
It wasn't needed, but it was fine. I overall thought that this was a great Oscars ceremony. I'm glad that the numbers were up. I'm glad that it overall got good reviews and good notices. I had such a good time. I just really enjoyed watching it. I thought Jimmy Kimmel did an incredible hosting job. I thought the presenters in general knew their jobs, like knew what they were there to do. Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
I love it. And next year, you're just going to have to stay in LA for it next time.
Sure. Maybe next time we'll Maybe we'll get a, oh, it's probably going to be really expensive. I was going to say, we'll get a hotel right next to the theater, but that's probably very expensive.
But we'll figure out a way to make it really nice.
But it was fun. I don't know. Did you have any other thoughts or anything that I kind of skipped over?
No, I think you covered it very well. I was, I had a day of day drinking because I was in Palm Springs that day. And I actually, we had a babysitter for the day it started. And I was like, because in my mind, that's better for my age to drink in the day. But definitely by the time I got to watching, I was like, gah. But I did get to go. They just opened the bar portion of the Trixie Motel.
Oh, fun.
And it was fine. It was just
okay. Right.
We got in trouble for taking pictures. And I'm like, I'm sorry. That's all people want to do. So I was like, take another one. I was like trying to get them to take as many because I'm like, I'm sorry. I just sat down. You don't get to tell me I don't get to take a picture. Not to be an asshole.
You got
but,
in trouble for taking
yeah,
a picture?
Yeah, they're like, I'm sorry. This area is for the guests only. I'm like, we just spent $150 on 4 drinks, so suck a DB. Yeah.
Yeah, weird. That's odd.
But I feel like next, our next episode, I'm going to go more, delve in more deeply to Palm Springs.
I was going to say, it's funny that like this episode, we knew we were going to talk about the Oscars. And of course, we both have so much else to talk. So tune in next week. Because there's so much to talk about.
Yeah.
So much to share so next week will be a loaded episode with all of our adventures from the past week or so.
Yep.
But yeah, there you go. That's kind of it. I overall enjoyed it.
I love it. Me too.
Thought it was fun. Glad we got to talk about this.
Yeah, me
and then
too.
We'll talk more about our other stuff next week.
Awesome. Thanks for listening, right. Everybody.
Thanks for listening. And I'm telling you, next week there's good stuff coming.
Oh man, Madonna.
Madonna.
California.
The beach. Oh, California. Oh. California.
Yeah, California. Let's do it. We'll meet you next week.
See you next week.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Mike and Vanya Can't Not. Episodes arrive on Thursday, so don't forget to subscribe if you want to be a part of this journey. Mike Jensen, that's me, is also the co-creator and co-host of We Couldn't Help But Wonder, A Journey Through Sex in the City, alongside Elise Castle. You can also follow him, me, at MikeJensen77. Vanya Arslanian is the co-creator and co-host of Rom Crime with Avrin and Vanya alongside Avrin Mackey. Follow them at Rom Crime. You can follow this podcast on Instagram at Mike and Vanya Can't Not with a whole lot of underscores and email us at MikeandVanyaCan'tNot@gmail. We're also on Twitter. Why? No one knows. But you can follow us there at Mike and Vanya. We'll be back next week. It also was respectful, and I thought it was really, really beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful. I thought it was really, really funny. And